Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 6 of season 5. This one is called The Game. Directed by Corey Allen, the teleplay credit goes to Brandon Braga, and it aired back on October 28th, 1991. In this episode, Riker returns from a vacation on Risa with a game that he is eager to share with the crew. Unfortunately, the game is psychologically addictive. It's Wesley Crusher. He returns to the Enterprise in this one, and Sean is here to talk about the game with us. And I think you guys are going to be looking forward to us discussing early 90s CGI in all its detail and greatness. So, right after this break, me and Sean are going to go deep on the game.
Mom?
Wesley.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm embarrassed to say this was meant for you. But it was so much fun, I couldn't resist.
What is it?
It's a game. Riker brought it back from Risa. Everybody's playing it. Want to try?
Maybe later.
Sean, I'm glad I get to talk to you about this one, because I think that you had brought up the game previously, I think disparagingly, but I can't remember. So I'm glad that we are going to be able to talk about the game, just me and you. We'll see how it goes.
Let's get into it, man. It's funny. This is the first episode I remember seeing when I was a kid. My grandfather was a big Trekkie, and I could hear him watching it in the other room, but I'd never really tried watching it myself. So I think I was, like 10 or 11 when I first saw this. And I remember as a kid thinking, that was really awesome. Now that I'm an adult, though,
things have changed. I guess that's a good starting place. Like, I remember this... this episode's like sort of the gimmick of it is very memorable. The 90s CGI that was probably dated when they made it and now looks only worse is probably the most memorable aspect of this one. If people don't remember, it's the episode where they have the little headgear that they play a game, which is basically a three-dimensional sort of landscape of discs spinning that you're trying to knock into like funnels, and that appears in your vision. It's interesting, to say the least.
And when you win, when you get a disc, when you get a frisbee inside the tube, you have like an orgasm.
Yes,
apparently.
Yeah, the tunnel is a veiled metaphor for a vagina, it seems. And the disc is something that rhymes sort of with disc. That's the weirdest thing I thought about this episode. This episode is not as bad as I remember, and it's also not as good as young me would have thought it was. I think one of the weirdest things here is that I appreciate the fact that they went so clearly that the game is supposed to represent sex.
Right.
That feels out of the tone of the show. They don't really do anything with it. Like, that has nothing to do with the plot, which I wish it did, but what'd you think about that whole aspect of the game?
Completely unnecessary. Like, I had to look at Riker's O-face at the beginning, and then eventually the whole crew, and then Crusher. Jesus.
I think the worst is when Wesley walks in on Beverly basically having an orgasm, and he's like, yeah. What are you doing?
No, and her dialogue just makes it worse. Like, oh, Wesley, I'm so embarrassed. This was meant for you. I mean, you could basically hear her pulling it out at that point.
That's yeah.
That was like, you should bring your date back so we can play the game together. And the way that she's off of him with her arms, like, there's a really weird Freudian shit happening.
That was the turning point in the episode. I really liked it, everything up until that point. I divide this episode into two sort of halves. There's the first half where they're... The show is really just sort of celebrating the fact that Wesley Crusher has returned. And I say that sort of sarcastically, but that's really what's going on for like the first half of the show.
It's trying to convince you, like, see, these characters like Wesley, so you should like him, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't do. And I just did my worst episodes of season 4 video. And my takeaway there was just final mission in season four was Wesley's last appearance. And you, I guess you can tell a character's bad when you go through every other episode after that and you never once go, gee, I wonder what like Wesley would have done in this situation. He just disappears and he's back now. What'd you think of the return of Wesley? Like as a character, what'd you think?
You know, I don't like when the old trope of like, oh, here's a very young character who's super genius and this kid, you know, through his youthful whatever, manages to do things that adults could never do. I never like that. And this episode really does just plays right into that bullshit, you know?
Yeah, his aptitude towards saving the day returns here, which is kind of a callback to season one. I do feel that the writing for him, he's not nearly as obnoxious in this episode.
Right.
And he's not that much older, so it's not like the actor has changed. I think they wrote him a lot better in this one. He's not egregiously horrible. His relationship is not like cringeworthy like it was in season The Dauphin, whatever season that was. That was terrible.
Right.
Ashley Judd might have something to do with that, where she's a decent actress, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what my takeaway of this episode was, look how great Ashley Judd is as an actress. She's like, she can somehow sell her lines. Why can't he sell his?
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. He's also super thin. Yeah. He looks like he needs to eat a little bit more of that Tavorkian pound cake that Worf is making for him.
What did you think about when he gets off the when he first arrives and how nice everybody is to him? Like, what did you think of every other character's take on Wesley?
I felt it was like you were saying, it's like these characters were written to appreciate Wesley. I don't feel that when any other character returns, the entire senior staff doesn't take time off basically to like celebrate their return. It feels a little bit weird, especially. I understand that they were writing Picard to be a fatherly figure of Wesley, but he really never was.
No.
It never came across that way. So his sort of, his like of Wesley in this one, I don't know if it makes a lot of sense. What do you think of that whole scene?
Yeah, I don't think Picard ever really pulls off the father figure to Wesley. I think he does pull it off to Data in a subtle way. But I don't get the impression Picard really likes Wesley. And even I don't think Patrick Stewart, this might be Patrick Stewart's worst acting in any episode of Star Trek, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't even think he can muster the strength to pretend to like Will Wheaton, let alone Wesley.
He's having trouble being a method in this thing. It's funny that I think that scene's sort of weirdly written, but I do like, I think that scene is well played, if that makes any sense. They clearly break with Worf's Tavorkian or pound cake or whatever line. Frakes is just cracking up in the background because that line delivery is so funny for some reason. I also didn't know that Worf bakes, which is an interesting look at that character.
Did they use the same kind of space cake later, like this like glazed holograph? I mean, how would you describe the color of that cake?
It looked kind of like a dark red velvet. Like he sort of had a... It's funny that all, like the concept of pound cake also transcends species. Like every culture has a pound cake, which is fantastic. I think that they never do like food stuff is funny. I was noticing that the when Wesley and Robin Leffler have her date, that you can make drinks look futuristic, you know, basically by giving them a funny color that you wouldn't normally drink. It's tough to make food because Troy's futuristic sundae doesn't look all that great when they do like a close-up shot of it.
I know. Oh, and maybe because I know something behind the scenes, she hates chocolate, and she refused to eat any of it. And she was written to always have to be a character that was a chocoholic. So she would have a spit bucket during all of these takes. And I know you never see the bucket or hear it or whatever, but in my mind, whenever I watch her do any of these scenes, I'm always just imagining just this like brown spit bucket between her legs. So when she's like scooping the chocolate, it's just like, oh God, she's just going to spit that away as soon as the camera turns off.
Such a waste. It's like that Monty Python sketch of the fat guy who has the vomit bucket next to her. But that's a, they don't really do food all that futuristic. I think this is the first mention of her chocolate love, I think.
Oh, is it?
It might be. I don't think I remember this ever coming up before. What did you think of that scene? I was reading reviews, and they were saying Michael Piller, the showrunner, was like, Brandon wrote a really great scene there. What do you think?
What did they film then?
Right. Yeah. Well, I'd say it had potential to be great if they kept the game being about pleasure. You know what I mean? So let's start to break down this concept of the game. Like, what's your general take of the game? Not the episode, but like the game itself.
I thought Frisbee 2 is pretty lame compared to freaking Holodeck. And for them to all be addicted to this thing, it just didn't make sense. And I know that the graphics are dated, so I don't want to judge it based on that. But it just didn't occur to me that you could have any Holodeck game you wanted, but instead you would have this that you could play while you were at work.
Right. Yeah. No one seems to care.
Yeah. What about you? What'd you think?
I think they made a mistake, A, by showing the game. I would have been fine if they just showed the little laser beams going in people's eyes and them sort of being like, oh. You know, like, that's fine for me. I don't need to see the game. I think that they attached the game to a plot that was way too big to support it. They basically attached it to an alien race is trying to take over Starfleet, right?
Right.
And that seems way too big. Like, there are too many gears. It's like a conspiracy theory. There are way too many things that could go wrong for that to make sense.
Right.
You know, they pick the one ship with Data on board.
Right.
They have to go through the hoops of deactivating Data to get around this.
Right.
And also, I feel it would have been better if it was a smaller story where it was like a mercenary group or something, like a con man group that gets it onto the ship and then tries to take the ship or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. If you shrunk down their objective, I think it would fit better.
Yeah, it's just, it feels too... and also, the game itself, I like and dislike the way they spread it. It feels very believable that people are just like a trusted friend comes up to you and is just like, hey, you should try this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time, it's up against... I saw a lot of criticism of this episode as saying a lot of people in the crew wouldn't try the game. Like, a lot of people have trouble assuming that Picard played the game.
Right. They don't really show it. They show him, like, putting it down.
Yes. And then on. I mean, sorry to interrupt, but my counter to that would be they don't show anything. So I guess you could assume that people held him down like they do Wesley, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. If they showed like a gang for holding somebody down like Picard, and then, if they just suggested that that was happening on the ship, like there was a forceful nature to it as well.
Right.
And you could assume maybe that's how the entire crew got taken.
Well, because I was going into it, there's a scene where Picard is talking to somebody else, and Crusher, after she's been taken and knocked out Data, she calls Picard to sick bay, and I was like, oh, that's when they do it. But it's not, because he actually goes down and looks at Data, and so that's not, like, if they had just not showed that scene, I would have been like, oh, they brought him into sick bay and they forcefully made him play the game.
Right. I don't know why it had to be sexual at all. I mean, all of the sexual overtones in this episode, the fact that the game had penetration in its visual, the fact that, you know, the chocolate ice cream scene with Riker, I don't know why. It would have been creepier if people were being sucked in by this thing and it wasn't this bizarre sexual, I don't know, action.
They should have either hit the sexual aspect harder or just avoided it. And they kind of literally...
How would you hit it harder? Like, you would just show everyone in these mass orgies or something?
It would be tough because it doesn't fit the tone of the show, really. Like, I'm surprised they even did this at all. Because it's if you're not going to explore it, it's just a kind of a weird thing to get into. I guess if you wanted to hit it harder, you'd have to you'd have to I don't really know. Like, you'd...
Yeah, I'm curious to see how you would increase the sexual name. How would you make it work?
I don't, maybe not. It's really hard to tell. I mean, the other way would be you'd have to show them being like sort of strung out if they don't get it, which is also kind of weird. It's tough for me. I don't know. What would you think? Like, how would you fix it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. How would I fix it? Yeah, I would make it more scary, you know, and I think that the idea itself is I think if Clay was reviewing this, he you know, he's a concept guy, so I'm sure he would, you know, jizz all over himself about the concept. Yeah. But then when you make it sexual, make it weird, and the show, like you pointed out in the past, is so bad at that stuff, at romance and sexuality. It's just, it's not good. So to use it, it's the show's weakness. It takes the severity of the situation down a level when you have to look at Riker's O face.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. No, I totally agree. It's a, I would have avoided that. And I think on a pure pacing level, the game's sort of nefariousness should have come in sooner. They take a long time to get the game going, where you see that a lot of the crew is taken over. At least to a great, I do like the idea that you have to get rid of Data, as much as it doesn't make sense in terms of like why this race of people would choose the Enterprise to do, but
knocking
Data out makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Did you find
it's a good thing he had his 70s strobe light on him?
Yes.
At the end.
I
Bat-chicka, wow, you're cured.
That scene is funny just because I like the sort of gravitas of the lights going down and he just strides onto the bridge, you know, but then they do the flickering lights and it's like, all right, that's just kind of, that's kind of silly.
Yeah. It looks like he stepped off of this set of Studio 54 to six save everybody.
He's got his bell bottoms on.
Yeah.
It's funny that you brought up, the sex and romance is kind of a weakness of TG. I think it's one of the biggest writing weaknesses that the show has. They just can't do it.
You're asking nerds to write romance, something that they probably know nothing about.
Nerds to write romance, and it's hard to do romance in a 45-minute episode. It never feels believable. This one kind of gets around it just because it's not really romance. It's just kind of pleasure. But it's a big problem. My other big problem that this show does is the show can't do chase scenes very well.
Right.
Where Wesley's being hunted for the last act and a half of the show. It never really makes sense technology-wise to me. And the show's direction is not great at doing action sequences like that.
Do you think it's a limit of the sets, or do you think they're just not good at it?
I'm sure it's a limit of the sets. And they also, this seems pre the realization that to do action you have to cut quickly. It's overdone today. Action sequences are shot way too quickly, but you need you need a little bit of fast editing, and I think they just don't have the time to do that many takes.
You know overall there was a lot of weird pacing in this episode. Like Wesley between Will Wheaton between his lines, he would just pause for long periods of time. Or there was this one shot when he was running through the hallways escaping and he's just like hovering around a force field trying to figure out what to do and nothing's going on. I mean, like you said, if they did some quick cuts like Jason Bourne style, I think it would be a lot more compelling. But yeah, I don't think that they're just not designed to do action very well. And that's probably a Star Trek criticism overall.
Yes. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It needs to Star Wars it up a bit every now and then, but it doesn't.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't take it might just because it's dated, but I mean, like the action in the original series is so charmingly campy that it becomes its own thing. Like Kirk just sort of throwing himself at people. they don't do that here. They go for a more realistic thing. And it reminded me of me and Clay did the episode. Oh, I think it's called The Hunted. It's the one with the super soldier.
Yes. Yes.
Which we also criticized the chase scene on that one just because it's the same problem where if you're telling me that this guy is like a super soldier and characters like, I can't believe how fast he is. And then you show me him attacking somebody in one medium shot. Mm-hmm. It looks terrible. Like it makes no sense as to what you're trying to get across. And I feel that's the same thing here. Although I will say that the show's writing in this episode justifies the chase scene better than it does in The Hunted, because all Wesley's trying to do at the end is waste time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And when you find out that he was able to repair Data and he knew he was going to get caught, but he just was delaying as much as he could while Data grabbed his strobe light.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. When he turned off Iron Butterfly and decided to help everybody on the ship.
Did you? I liked the knockout of Data. What did you think about Data's role in this episode?
It's another, it's sort of another episode that highlights Data's way too powerful in a weird way. When Wesley is investigating and he realizes that there's only two people on the ship that could have done this to Data, and he thinks it's Geordi, which makes sense. But then his mom, I'm thinking, like, why would his mom know any? She's a medical doctor. I didn't get that.
I think that they're... it is a callback to Beverly is one of the few characters who knows about Data's on-off switch.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
But
I take it back.
That doesn't really explain how she can do advanced computer surgery on him.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I reinstituted it then. You're right. I'm going back to what I said.
Well, I mean, it does, like, it's kind of a mix. I don't understand why Beverly Crusher would be able to do this sort of advanced surgery mm-hmm. on him.
Right.
Which I think the show really had trouble straining. Like, Wesley's right. like, oh, these wires are cut. And it's like, Geordi didn't notice that his wires were cut.
They weren't even evenly cut. It was like a squiggle. Like, how is there's only one person that only has a hand that steady? Like, no, it looks like someone just ripped them apart.
Yeah, I like how Crusher did it by hand as well. That was a brazen, that's a surgeon right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, going against the, you know, we criticized the direction of the chase scene. I did like the direction of the capturing Data scene where they're shooting, I think it's called the Dutch angle, where they're like shooting up. Right. And, you know, it makes everything look a little bit more intimidating. Data's just in the forefront laying on the ground. That's good. I had a problem with Data's resurrection and fixing things made a lot of sense to me. It felt a little bit weird that it was all off screen.
Right. I think you were supposed to be surprised when he shows up. Like, you think that all hope is lost and suddenly Data's there and you're like, yay! You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess it works. It feels very... I also find it's... I guess it's of the thing, like, Data doesn't do anything for it, right? He comes in and fixes the problem. And then literally after he fixes the problem, he just leaves the bridge. It felt like he's just written in here just to fix this so we can resume back to a normal episode schedule right after here.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it's funny because the next episode is a two-parter that has pretty, you know, big actors and consequences. So this is kind of like the short little spurt before they get on to real stories again, you know?
Right, yeah.
But the season is so good, as you've been, you know, pointing out in your podcast, like every episode's almost, you know, sticks the landing. And then there's this episode, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think – I really like the first – I think the first half of this episode really shows how the show has grown a lot. Like, I wrote down all the scenes that I liked. Like, I liked Riker on Ryza. That kind of makes sense. I like the fact that the plot that gets things going is a dispute amongst who gets to use the sensors, kind of. Like, the teams are all bickering because they only have a limited time to study whatever the fuck they're studying. Mm-hmm. I like the surprise party acting in that. Like, the characters are really settled into their characters. Data being knocked out is good, and Picard having tea with Wesley is probably the best Picard-Wesley scene that we've had.
Right, yeah.
After that, we get the Beverly Crusher orgasm scene, and it all sort of goes downhill. But I really like the first half of the episode.
Yeah, you know, I think I focused on the second half of this entire episode, really. But you're right, there's a lot of great moments in the first half.
They do nothing to advance the plot of the game in the first half.
No.
Which is an interesting choice. And although I like the, you know, I like the sort of sneakiness that it gets in. Like, I do like the idea of the game is just passed amongst friends and there's no reason to really be suspicious of it.
Right.
I do think that the show made a huge mistake in the character that's trying to be convinced the most is the blind man, who I don't understand how the game would work for him at all.
Right. Yeah. Well, how did they even get Geordi with the visor? They never really show that.
No, they don't. They have that incredibly awkward scene where Geordi's best friend Data has basically been killed, and Geordi is trying to figure out what's going on, and Riker's like, hey, man, you should just kick back and relax with this game. I think Geordi should have been a little bit more suspicious of what was going on at that point.
He was just happy that someone was paying attention to him and offering him friendship. He's like, fuck this. The only reason I was friends with Data is because he's the only one that was nice to me. But the minute someone shows any kind of attention at all, Data and I are through.
it's over. Oh, I mean... The game. Well, I mean, as the other way to look at this is really just a Return of Wesley episode, a very one-off. It feels a little bit rushed, I think, just because the nature of this 40-minute thing, and you're trying to bring him back and reintroduce him.
Although it doesn't work. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But, you know, this episode to me, because it's relying on Wesley, I felt it showed just how bad of an actor he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just such a waste. I don't know. I mean, I in a way, it's an interesting way to talk about Wesley, and sort of it highlights a lot of the problems with the character, and also with the relationship that the audience has with the character. Because at this point in the series, it's known that everyone hates Wesley, and he knows that people don't like him, and yet they're still trying to push him onto the audience. And it's just like, no, just let it go. Like when you
right.
sent him off
yep.
to Starfleet, that was the right move. But stop pretending that he's worth anything.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
In a sense, it's nice because he is such a clear example of a Mary Sue character. I even think, you know, Will Wheaton's own words, he said that. Of, you know,
Mary, yeah. For anyone listening who doesn't know, a Mary Sue is basically a stand-in for a writer. Like the creator
right.
of something puts themselves into the story.
Right. Yeah. So he's like with Roddenberry was a kid, even said it before he passed, that, you know, he wished that he was Wesley, and he was Wesley was his eyes revisiting the Enterprise and how cool it would be. And yeah. And it's funny. I thought a lot about Star Wars and the Mary Sue disputes over what's her face?
Ray.
Yeah, Ray. Exactly.
Yep.
And I thought a lot about Wesley when I was watching those debates happen. I'm like, well, you know, she does have Mary Sue attributes. She is a little Wesley every now and then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's.
I don't know.
He's. The actor's not good. The character is not great. This was like just going on the scale of his appearances. I think that this is one of the strongest Wesley episodes.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, you're not really dealing with a lot of great. We're going to get a better one shortly, but this is to this point probably his strongest appearance. I think it really comes down to the writing of him. He's not, outside of him saving the day, he's not super obnoxious in this episode,
right?
Which is fantastic in terms of character development for him. I guess he's you know, you could just argue he's grown at Starfleet. And I
mean,
like
the fact that the biggest plus for him, and that just shows how low the bar is set for decent characters on the ship. Like, he's not that obnoxious, so that's good.
It's development. I know that's true, but at the same time, I mean, yeah, they got so much better at creating these sort of minor characters as
right.
the show went along. They were terrible at the start, but they fixed things up a little bit. So let me ask you, what's your favorite scene of this episode, if you have one? I can go first if you want to take a minute to think.
Yeah, you go ahead. You're ready.
My favorite scene is the Data and Wesley talking about their days at the Academy scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I really like that one. I like Data's just sort of detached from it. He's like, he excelled academically, but he had trouble fitting in, and everyone was sort of playing jokes on him. It felt very true to what college kids, which essentially they are, would do to a person like Data.
Right.
Or like, you know, if you took like a severely autistic person, you could see the sort of like level, like the level of cruelty that might happen to them.
Yeah.
The show doesn't really go into it, mostly because Data is completely unemotionally affected by it, which is fantastic.
Right.
But
he's kind of a sociopath at times. He's kind of got Asperger's too.
Yes. He's just totally detached from it. I really like that scene. I thought it was a nicely written scene that stayed true to the characters of both of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Wesley and Data have had kind of their relationship works for some reason.
Yeah. Wesley's more friendly in a way than Geordi is to Data. Geordi has more of a working relationship, where I think that, Wesley seems to enjoy Data as a person more than sometimes a lot of the other people do. You never really get the he's an android thing from Wesley with it.
Yeah, you're right. Wesley, I guess especially in the early seasons, the thing I did like about Wesley was he was very charmed by Data, as any kid would be who's looking at a robot. I mean, how awesome is that? And Wesley does sort of that does come across in him. I just think when they lost track of what to do with the character when he got older, and they kept trying things out and nothing really stuck. Except for the episode that's coming up where he gets in trouble
right.
for lying,
yep.
and everyone gets to yell at him,
right.
and that makes sense why that would work, because that's what I want to do to him.
That episode is just coming up is going to be the first time where he screws up, really. You know, like something that happens is basically his fault, which the show has been hesitant to do. He's always been the solution to something that's happened, and you know, that's just a better way to write a, what is he supposed to be, 17 at this point, something like that?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, you're right. He's a very young-looking, smooth-looking 17-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he doesn't have any pubes at this point, but whatever.
He's too skinny. He's got no extra calories going to a yeah. sort of secondary.
Dude, do you think? Because Ashley Judd's character, she was an officer. Like, she had graduated, right?
Yeah.
Which makes her, I would assume, older than him.
Well,
so
how,
she's
how
dating
old
a student.
Are they? How old are they when they get out of the academy? Like, did Wesley go in early? I'm having trouble remembering. Or
yeah, I think he did because he's kind of a wunderkind.
Okay. So we'll assume that the academy is supposed to be college age, which would be like 18 to 21, 22, something around there.
Okay. I like where this is going. Go ahead.
I mean, he's a little young.
Yeah.
Her, like, it's the weird thing where, like, you know, the older you get, the bigger the gap in your age matters less.
Right.
But when you're right. when a 21-year-old is dating an 18-year-old, it's like, oh Jesus, like what?
Oh yeah,
what's
that's like law breakingly offense. Yeah, that's like that's basically statutory rape in a way. She, with the frisbee tube game, she did sort of penetrate Wesley before he was a true man.
We don't know what was real. They were on that bed for a reason, not just to play that game. And
of course Wesley gets a girl in bed and all he wants to do is play video games. Of course.
my to show how like blatant that scene is, my wife wasn't watching this episode at all. She came in and watched that scene and she saw them like twitching, pretending to play the game on the bed. And uh-huh. she's like, what are they doing? I was like, they're playing a game. And she said, she's like, are they fucking each other in this game? And it's just like, it's so obviously sexual that it's funny that they made it that way. Like, why have them in bed?
I mean, Wesley, Will Wheaton clearly has never had an orgasm at this point. So he's just sort of shaking around, like doing what his mom did.
Yeah, he looks like someone who's suffering from like hypothermia and is being brought back. And yeah.
But I mean, the idea of her, she's an officer. She was on the ship. She's accomplice, and she's heard all these rumors about this young student back at college, and she's very taken and smitten with him. Like, oh, is the truth they say about your birthmark? And it's just like, oh God, it's like a teacher hitting on a student. I mean, there's laws against that shit.
Why is his birthmark big news in Starfleet?
I don't even want to know where it is. Oh God.
Well,
there's one on his face. It needs to be punched. But other than that, I'm not sure where it would be.
Well, at the end scene, she's holding up like his like tiny felt boxers or whatever.
Yeah. So, all right. So the last scene, I'm glad we brought this up. So she's helping him pack his space Hanes, which I guess is okay. And they kiss, they make out. And then he's like, oh yeah, one more rule. You know, a couple of light years can't keep good friends apart. I'm like, good friends? You just made out with her. Like, how is that good friends?
That was the show abandoning.
Best.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, oh, we built this relationship. Oh, they're kissing. Like, because we need to see Wesley kiss for some reason.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this actually affects my opinion of Ashley Judd as a person.
for taking this role.
This
is our first TV appearance, I was looking, which is kind of surprising.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah.
It can only go up from here.
It can only improve. But I sort of agree. It's a weird it's the show again dealing with relationships poorly. Apparently they're not in a sort of like, not that they have to be, but they're like, it's weird that it just ends with like, we'll be friends. I'll see you later.
It's tongue, kiss, drool.
It's
rub one out. Let's just be friends.
It's weirdly progressive, but also it doesn't seem to make sense in the narrative of it. I sort of agree. It's her last appearance, so it's like it kind of feels weird that she's only been here for these two episodes. She got a full name and is then sent off to nothingness.
Yeah, you know, every scene she's in, it's just you can see behind her eyes. She's thinking, "Wow, you guys are all really bad at acting. Like, holy shit, should I be on this ship and not you?"
she's a remarkable guest star that the show had. Well, that's been, I think we've chatted up the game enough. I'm going to take a break. We're going to play an audio clip of the game. Me and Sean are going to come back, give our final thoughts and ratings for the game.
Surprise!
Mom! Oh, welcome home.
Hi, Mom.
Wesley.
Captain.
Comodo tua latinitas est.
Praestat quam prius.
Ooh.
Oppido bonum. Your Latin is improved.
You're looking very handsome.
You really do that cadet uniform justice, Wesley?
I bet you're driving all the girls wild.
Wesley! Tarvokian pound cake. I made it myself.
Thanks, Worf.
it's time to play the game. Leading up to this episode, it's probably been the most fun of the episode, coming up with various other media things that involve the game, which yep. is
either Motorhead and
the Saw game, and Clay sent out the Triple H. It's time to play the game theme music. I would argue both of those things are better than this episode, but I don't think this episode is terrible. It's settled into a season five. This is probably pretty bad for season five, but I don't think it's all that bad. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. I really like the first half, and I am not crazy about the second half high concept stuff. Even though I don't think it's egregiously bad, but it's got like little nitpicky problems to it that a bunch of them that don't really add up. So, Sean, what'd you think of this one?
This one always it's a hard episode to forget. Something about it is very catchy. It's very different, I feel, in a way for Star Trek. But I got to give it a 2 out of 5. I just think there's just so many questions I have and questions unanswered. And you know, even when they were chasing him down, they couldn't find Wesley because he took off his communicator. That makes no sense.
Right.
They had to skirt a lot of rules in order to pull this plot off. And I'm going to go 2 out of 5.
It's funny you say that because it's the I might have mentioned this to you. Chase scenes, we mentioned how they don't really work. The writers have also mentioned that it was tough for them to do any sort of like murder mystery stuff because mm-hmm. the technology of the show gets in the way all the time.
Right.
It's kind of the same with the chase scenes. The technology conveniently doesn't work whenever someone is just running from people. There's no reason to say that they couldn't find him just because his communicator isn't there. You'd think the ship would be able to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing that if they spent more time on him gearing up to pull off this prank and to elude them for 10 minutes, I mean, that could have been really cool. You know, he could have stolen something from, you know, O'Brien, or really made more of a go at how he would actually pull this off. And you would have made the character more impressive. And, you know, you've forgiven him for his O-face and the shit he did.
That's a good point. So, like, if you would actually... It probably would have spoiled the fact that he knew... It spoils the Data reveal at the end if you show him planning for it. But I do think that the planning aspect would make the character more sensible, I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you finish.
They tried, like, all right, computer, find Wesley, and he's off the grid. Oh, all right, we'll scan for his DNA, and the computer, like, they try thing after thing, and it's not able to work.
In
Voyager, they eventually do a bone marrow transplant, or they track someone by their bones, and then they beam the bones plus all the flesh attached to it onto their ship. And it was, like, the first time it's ever been done, but I'm thinking, like, well, why couldn't they do something like that? Like, I know it's, you know, this is way before Voyager, but it just didn't make sense. Like, you know, get rid of the we can't find him. He took off his pin. I mean, I don't know what we're supposed to do, Captain.
Right? Yeah, that's a very honor system based system there, where it's like, as long as you have your how do they beam anyone who does not belong in Starfleet on board?
Oh yeah, that's the best way to take over the ship, man. Is just take off your pin and just run rampant because no one will find you.
It's a scene where you're like cornered by Worf, and like you just take off your communicator, and Worf is like, "I lost him."
He's like standing right in front of you, and like Worf's like, "I'm sorry, I don't see anything." If like six people suddenly took off their communicators, you think an alarm would go off? Like, oh my god, this must be a hull breach. Six people are dead. They're missing. You know,
the ship is just lightened. Yeah, when they wear them in bed and everything. That's a good point. I can't disagree with a 2 out of 5. It's
harsh.
Tough.
Like I'm with you though. A 3 out of 5 makes sense to me too. You know, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think if you, it's one of those episodes. If you just bring up, remember the 3-dimensional CGI game episode, people will go, "Ooh, boy!" Like I think the CGI game aspect almost gets in your way of the episode. and it's funny how little they show it. I guess because it's so stupid. But it is what it is. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sean, for coming on to discuss the game.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll have you back. And guys, if you enjoyed the content today, if you're on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. We'll be back in a couple days with Unification Part 1 and 2. Until then, though, Sean, thanks again, and I will I'll have you back on. You'll have to let me know what one of your favorite episodes coming up later is. There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah. Well, the one with where the next one with Wesley, I'd like to do that one, but I'm sure it's been called like
Clay.
Oh,
no, cool. No. Is that season 5? I guess it would be.
I forget. Actually.
I forget too. I think it is, but you're talking about the first duty, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can definitely have to go for that one. So, guys, cool. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you later.